Hour number four of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, CBS Sports Radio. Action-packed show so far. I think we've done college football in every segment but two. Scott Hansen joined us earlier, and then we talked about this Travis Kelce injury news, where I guess we'll get further clarity if he's going to play on Thursday tomorrow. But he has the knee injury. They don't. It's not an ACL tear, which is good. The ACL is still intact. So I would be surprised if Travis Kelce does play on Thursday. The question just is going to be, how long is he going to be out? But it looks like the Kansas City Chiefs avoided a major scare today. And maybe Kelce will be back in a week or two for the Kansas City Chiefs. But outside of that, it's been college football, college football, college football. Cordell Stewart joined us to talk about his Colorado team. As Colorado with Coach Prime had a wonderful start to their season. We know Cordell Stewart was a quarterback at Colorado and did some really special things. Mike Norvell joined us about an hour ago, fresh off of Florida State's beatdown up against LSU. And coming up in about 20 minutes from now, Craig Bohl is going to join us, the head football coach at Wyoming. And Wyoming, how about this one, Hickey? When they're down 17-0, did anyone think they were going to come back and beat Texas Tech, who Joe McGuire's done a nice job early on there? And I know that you had the lightning delay early on and the weather delay. And then when you're down 17 points against a team that's just more talented than you, I'm not thinking for a single second that Wyoming was going to come back, but that's college football. That is the craziness of college football, with what you got to see over the weekend, where a lot of people are talking positively about Texas Tech in an open Big 12, and then boom, you lose to Wyoming after, when you're up 17-0, not that the game is over, but you're thinking you're in a good spot.
I think the one thing college football has told you, when you're in a weird location, no offense to Laramie, Wyoming, but it's out there for Texas Tech, not used to playing in an environment like that. When it's a night game, again, odd time, and when you get weather, which puts a delay in it, weird stuff always happens.
Yeah, and I always feel as if whenever these games end up having an upset, that you always have to survive the initial onslaught. Like, I'm not just bringing this up because I went to Temple and you went to Penn State, but 8 years ago, Temple defeated Penn State, who, that was not a great Penn State team. Their offensive line was horrible. But Temple went down in that game 10-0, and they weathered the storm, and then they came back and they scored 27 unanswered points. And for Wyoming, they, you know, no pun intended with the weather delay, but they weathered the storm. And when it got to 17-0 and you look like you're on the ropes and about to give in to the storm, you found a way to punch back, and then it ends up going just blow for blow in the second half. And then in overtime, they don't make their two-point conversion. You get the touchdown, a great fourth down throw by the quarterback who took a big hit. And then you get the two-point conversion play right after that, and you end up winning the game. So it's just one of those things. Whenever you have an upset in college football, I do feel as if the quote-unquote inferior team at a certain point in the game looks inferior, but then they're able to dig deep and find a way to pull out the victory. So let's do this right now. I'm going to give you three college football takes from this past weekend. Hickey will give you three college football takes as well. Let's go one for one here. I'll start off with Florida State. We just talked to the head football coach, Mike Norvell. I told you before the start of the year that Florida State was going to win the ACC. I will take it a step further. Florida State's going to be a college football playoff team this year. I think at most, Florida State's going to have one loss heading into the college football playoff. If you are a one-loss ACC champ, I think you will be in the college football playoff. And they showed you how dominant they could be and why right now I have them as the third-best team in college football with what they were able to do over the weekend, where LSU was just as equally hyped, if not more hyped, heading into this season. And people are talking about LSU and Brian Kelly and, right, how great they're going to be. And that game was ugly early on. And LSU early on looked like the better team, but they weren't able to put the ball in the end zone. And then LSU had a three-point lead heading into halftime, and Florida State ran out of the building in the second half. So my first take, Hickey, Florida State, I already had them win the ACC. Now they will be a college football playoff team.
You started positive. I'm going to go negative here, and that is this.
Why are you such a jerk here?
What do you mean?
Tuesday, we're coming off a big holiday weekend. We're feeling good. Even though the summer's, you know, coming to a close and it's over now, and you got to be all negative. Why are you such a negative Nancy today? Jeez.
That's just the way I am. I'm sorry. And I will say this, I take no joy in what I'm about to say. Some people might say it's biased. This is unbiased, this is the truth. Ohio State's in trouble. Ohio State is in big trouble. You could talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Ogbuka and having the best wide receiver in the country and all these great tight ends and running backs. The reality we saw on Saturday is this. Quarterback is shaky at best. Offensive line stinks. Kyle McCord is getting a lot of attention, made some terrible decisions.
Also had some drop passes, too.
Yes, but also was lucky in the sense he didn't have three or four picks in the red zone with some of the balls that he put out there and nearly intercepted. His decision-making has to get a lot better for sure. But also, the offensive line was not very good. Big question for Ohio State coming to the year. They lost both their tackles from last season. Both got abused by an Indiana defense that's not very good. Indiana stinks. Their defense stinks. And so you struggle and put up 23 points in your opener. You can have all the great weapons you want. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have an offensive line, does that matter? That's the reality right now for Ohio State.
So you know how for most of this offseason, whenever Penn State or Michigan or Ohio State would come up, it would be like the schedule is really just those two teams. Like those two teams that we, like if you're Michigan, it's Penn State and Ohio State. That's pretty much the schedule. For Ohio State, though, they're going to have an early test where you're implementing McCord in there. Sure, it was not a good performance. I'm with you. I did not like what I saw from him. And if I had to rank it right now, Michigan's number one in the Big Ten, Penn State's two, and then Ohio State's three. But we'll really be able to get a full evaluation of Kyle McCord coming up towards the end of the month at September 23rd. Because you're in Notre Dame, you're up against the Fighting Irish, primetime game, Saturday night on NBC. You know, Indiana, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky. If you lose any of those three games, you're screwed. And you beat Indiana, even though it was a pretty dull performance. But we're going to really find out what this Ohio State team is up against the Notre Dame team, who I like Marcus Freeman now in your number two. You have a good running back in Audric Estime. And you have Sam Hartman, who we know has been around in college football for a long time. That Ohio State game could change the tune, or that Notre Dame game for Ohio State could change the tune of some following week one, but I will agree with you. It was not pretty, and usually like when you're at Ohio State, you think right away, right? They're going to score 40 points up against Indiana, and it was a tough, tough race to even get to the 23 points to clear the 20-point mark that they did. Alrighty, my next take. Before the year, I was more optimistic than most on Colorado, where I said I believe Colorado could win five games. Now, five games, not going to make you bowl eligible. After what I saw this weekend against TCU, and you have Shador Sanders throwing for 510 yards, four different pass catchers go over 100 yards receiving, Travis Hunter Jr. playing one of the more insane college football games that you'll ever see. And he even dropped a touchdown, but he had 100 yards, over 100 yards receiving, played over 100 snaps, and had an interception right inside the red zone, which was just phenomenal. And the dude after the game is dancing in the locker room and doesn't even look tired. Like, I don't know about you, Hickey. If I played 100-plus snaps just on one side of the ball, I would need oxygen, I would need a big fat meal, I would need an ice bath, and I wouldn't be moving for a day. Travis Hunter is dropping dance moves, going crazy in the locker room after the game as if he just woke up and he had, you know, his coffee and had the most energy possible. But what I saw from this Colorado football team, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy sliding the rest of the way. I'm not telling you they're going to be Pac-12 champs. I'm not telling you they're going to be a college football playoff team. But there was a question of would they be bowl eligible. And most people would have said no before the start of the season because this is a program, even though Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, changed the entire program. The program did have one win a year ago. But I would be really surprised at this point if Colorado does not make a bowl game this year. So my take after watching this weekend is, yeah, you could have two Heisman Trophy finalists from Colorado if Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter Jr. keep this up. But this team is a lot better than what people expect. And if they don't get the six wins this year, something really did go wrong. So Colorado to a bowl game this year.
Take two for me is this. The Pac-12 conference is the best conference in college football.
Interesting.
Said it coming into the season, and so far, combined record, 13-0. No conference has ever started 12-0 before in the last 40 years. Pac-12, here they are. They are the only conference with five teams that legitimately could compete for a college role playoff.
Yeah, but you know what the crappy part is? So they have so many good quarterbacks in that conference. And so many quarterbacks that could be playing in the NFL, too. As one thing being a really good college quarterback, and then we talk about some of these quarterbacks that there's also belief they could be really good pro quarterbacks, too. I just wonder, the Pac-12 champ, they should be good enough to get in the college football playoff, but how many losses are they going to have? Because remember, it's only four. It's not going up to 12 and augmenting to 12 like it will next year. I just wonder, when you really get into conference play and these teams of the Pac-12 do what they do best, where they beat up on one another whenever you're about to put a team in the college football playoff in the Pac-12, they lose a game that they're not supposed to do, what is the loss total going to look like at the end of the year for the winner of the Pac-12? And that's a big thing this year when you're about... Because if you win that conference... With how tough that conference is in the final year of its existence, you would think you should be good enough to get into the college football playoff, but I just don't know if the record's going to be good enough.
That's one of the perils of playing in a conference that's deep. I mean, five teams, it's going to be really tough, and like I said, the college football playoff, unfortunately for them, the expansion is 1 year too late.
And then finally, my last take that I'm going to give you here, and so far I already told you that Florida State's going to the college football playoff, and Colorado will be bowl eligible. The last take that I'm going to give you, you know what? I have to go back to the well here. And I know I just talked about them, but Clemson. This is a Clemson team that last year they won the ACC, but they weren't a great team. You hear Dabo after the game when we just played the cut. It's almost as if he's dumbfounded. It's almost as if he can't understand why this is happening. And he's refused to embrace the transfer portal. They don't have as much talent as they once did. And then I think Dabo still like kind of looked at Duke as an inferior football team. Where on paper, sure, Clemson is better than Duke. But it's not as if Duke had this crappy season last year. No, Duke last year, they won a bowl game. And they were 9-4. And they have a really good young quarterback. And it's almost as if Dabo just didn't even think that this was going to be a fight. Because you hear him, Hickey, after the game talk about the stats. And it's like, oh, we had a quarterback go for over 200, and we had a, you know, a run game go for over 200. And it's almost as if Dabo like just didn't realize that, yes, the role before the game was his football team's superior team, and his, you know, team is going up against his inferior football team. But after watching that game, Clemson, by far and away, was the inferior football team. And it's as if Dabo's still living in the past that he has Trevor Lawrence and he has Deshaun Watson. And Cade Klubnik's supposed to be a good quarterback. But we're at a point now with Dabo where the dude just doesn't adapt. And he doesn't adjust with the times. And until he does that, I'm not saying they're going to lose every week 28-7. Like, they still have a solid record, you would think, at the end of the year. But they're not a team that I believe in and a team that I trust to be one of the better teams in college football.
Adapt or die, right? We say it for almost any sort of, you know, line of work in this country, especially if you're not changing with the times, you're going to get left behind. And we're seeing that right now with Dabo Swinney. He's not adjusting. He's not changing. And right now you're seeing Clemson's demise really right in front of our face.
Yeah. And I'm not even saying, people are even going to the year and say, oh, Clemson go win a national championship like they used to. But did anyone even pick them to get to the college football playoff this year? I'm sure someone did. I'm sure there's a small group of people. But did you notice a majority of people putting Clemson in their top four?
Definitely not a majority. Definitely not.
Not even close. And I know Dabo has probably reached a level where he looks, you know, down upon us all. And you don't want to feed the noise and all that. But how many more signs does this guy need? And you know what the other obnoxious part about Dabo is? It's almost as if he's only willing to do it one way, where you see other coaches embracing the transfer portal, other coaches embracing name, image, and likeness. Dabo takes, like, no transfers. And then remember that quote last year with the name, image, and likeness? Oh, we built our program off God's name, image, and likeness. Like, what are you doing here? Go do what a lot of these other coaches are, where they all a lot of these coaches think NIL could be a pain in the ass, and the transfer portal could be a pain in the ass. But look at the programs that have taken advantage of it, and look at the success that they've had. All right, final take here, Hickster.
It is on the transfer portal. It's looking right now to be one of the great equalizers in college football. NIL and the transfer portal were created in part to bring some parity to college football, and you see Deion Sanders' complete roster overhaul beats a ranked team on the road. Texas State, credit to them, goes on the road as 30-point underdogs, beats Baylor, Big 12 team. Same kind of thing, the second most transfers for one team behind Colorado, Texas State. So two teams most active in the transfer portal both get wins in week number one. You see Florida State, but you just have Mike Novella on. A lot of his key contributors were brought in from the transfer portal as well. So coaches are using it, you know, sparingly for some places. Others are building rosters from it. And we are seeing now, honestly, even to my surprise, you can put things together quickly. You can now build on the fly faster than maybe anyone's ever thought. And I think it's been, again, while it gets a lot of grief, all these kids are quitting, how can you leave? It is, I think, been a positive in the sport, and you're seeing it yet again.
And I've always said this. I think kids should be able to make money while they're in college. And if you don't like the school, for whatever the reasons are, I think you should have the freedom to leave. Now, with that being said, if you're leaving because you think you're deserving of more playing time and you're not getting it, sometimes that could be a tricky situation, but... And maybe like you don't put any of the blame on yourself. But with that being said, kind of the reason you go to college and, right, you attend the college, I attend the college, is you learn a lot. And no one's perfect in college. So even though it could put the student athlete in a spot where you maybe make a hasty decision, I do believe that at that part of your life and other voices could influence that decision, I know we call them kids, but you're a grown man at that point. You know, you're still learning. But you should be able to choose where you want to go play college. And the transfer portal, even though it's a lot of people leaving and people bitch about it, the coaches that adapt are the coaches that will thrive. And by the way, you mentioned the Baylor loss. Look how quickly the luster has worn off on Dave Aranda. 2-7 the first year, then wins the Big 12. And that was a good roster they took over with the players that Rhule had in there. Then 6-7 last year when they had big expectations, and now you start off the year 0-1, losing to an inferior program. Whew. And I like Aranda, but that's a rough start to your season, especially where now it was one bad year, one great year, one bad year, and then you get off to the start of the season with a really bad showing. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. Talking about a good showing, how about Wyoming? Greg Bowles is going to join us on the other side, the head football coach at Wyoming with the Cowboys. They upset a Big 12 team in Texas Tech, and they were down 17-0. How'd they do it? We find out next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. How about Wyoming this past weekend getting a big victory in double overtime up against Texas Tech? And now joining us is head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, and that, of course, is Coach Craig Bowl. Coach, congratulations. Appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this.
You know what? I appreciate this relationship with CBS Sports. We've had a great partnership for several years.
Well, we appreciate you saying that. Let me start you off with your quarterback, though, Coach, because when I'm watching you guys on Saturday, Andrew Peasley is one tough quarterback. What do you see, especially the performance he was able to give?
Well, it was, you know, if you'd use the word gritty, I think that would be an understatement. I mean, he competed. There's certainly some things that he needs to improve on from the first game to the second game, but grit and determination is not one of them. You know, he was resourceful. He made several plays. He took a lot of hits. Matter of fact, one time I went out and saw him in between timeouts, and he didn't know how much more he could go. And so he reached down, and certainly the last pass he threw was exceptional. And we cut a free blitzer right up the A-gap, and he delivered a strike to John Mike for a touchdown.
Yeah, that 4th-and-7 play, that just defines who he is, because you're absolutely right. The amount of hits he took in that game, I know that's not sustainable, but he was not afraid there, knew the game was on the line, and he had to take some of the contact to go make the play.
He certainly did. I talked to him at halftime, and we talked about trying to reshape our game plan a little bit, and he convinced me, he goes, "Coach, keep on running me, and I'm going to keep on taking off." And He made a lot of plays. I thought our offensive line, by and large, did a good job protecting him. But, you know, some of his scrambles and things like that. And then we did miss a blitz pickup, which he took a heck of a shot. But he was out there practicing yesterday. And he'll get himself ready to go for this week's game against Portland State.
You've been around so many different kids throughout your stops in college football. His leadership skills, take me through those a little bit, because you hear him taking the contact, you hear the conversations that he's had with you. It seems like this kid is just a top-notch leader.
You know, he certainly is. And here's one of the, I guess, positive things about the transfer portal, because we were in need of a quarterback. He was had finished up his school at the last school, and even though it was in the conference, we sat down and we had a chance to get to know one another. You know, his family comes from a ranching background. He's from a smaller town, great work ethic. I knew the head coach who had recruited him and had an extensive conversation. And so I think the meshing of the cultures was exceptional. Last year was his first year in our system. He's certainly grown exponentially. He's a bright football geek. I mean, he lives in a film room. We put a lot of pressure on the quarterback mentally, and he's answered the bell.
Coach Craig Bohl here with us. So some coaches, right, it's new waters with the transfer portal, and it always takes time to really adapt. You've seen college football from so many different types of versions. Was it all tough to adapt to the transfer portal? You feel comfortable where you guys are at on that front, or is it still a lot of work to do to kind of get the program where they need through the transfer portal?
I would not say I'm comfortable. I'm certainly maybe more adaptable than what I was, you know, the first year. I mean, it was like a bomb went off in our place. And we're a developmental program. We have developed our players. And so as far as going out and basically acquiring them through transfer portals was a little something outside of my wheelhouse. And I can still remember like it was yesterday when Andrew and his father were sitting in my office, and I felt like I was an NFL GM doing some kind of transactional agreement. You know, it was a leap of faith by both of us, but our program has grown. I think we have, you know, some real good examples of guys that we have added. But the whole key for us has been to make sure that, you know, we have a great character reference. We know people that will stand on the table for these guys that we've invited in our program, because I'm convinced probably the biggest reason why we beat Texas Tech was our team chemistry and our resiliency and how those guys have had each other's back.
It's never easy to beat a program like Texas Tech, and I have a lot of respect for Joey McGuire, what he's done in his short time there. But you guys were down by 17. Now, when it's down 17-0, not many people thinking you're coming back to win that game. What does it say about the toughness, really, of your team and the resilience of your team to be able to beat a team like that, especially being down 17-0 out of the gate?
Well, you know what? It was interesting because at the pregame meal, I gave a message on what things we were going to need to do to win the game. And at the end of the first quarter, I said, I don't think these guys listened to me at all. We were doing everything just the opposite. And, you know, through a number of years, you kind of have a barometer on, okay, can you keep on with the same type of game plan and move forward? And we were still within the margins. But at 17 down, I knew that we were getting close to maybe a term inflection point that we needed to get something going. And we certainly did. And then we clawed our way back. Our whole goal was to take Texas Tech into the fourth quarter at home. And, you know, usually when you're at home and you take an opponent on the road here at 7,200 feet, you know, we're going to come out ahead. And so, but it took us to the mat. It says a lot about this football team. I'm personally excited about this team, and I think the future looks bright.
Yeah, what do you think this team can accomplish this year? Because you know how it works. Before the year, you get ranked where you're ranked. And now you get a big victory like that, and everyone's going to be talking about Wyoming and what this football team did and how they could carry throughout the rest of the season.
You know, we're going to take one game at a time. We have a mantra here called 1-0. And, you know, it was interesting a couple years ago, one of our players, I put up there 1-0, and he goes, what do you mean, coach? We've already played four games. You know, we're very focused on the next opponent and continual improvement. But we have a great – the Mountain West Conference, you know, it's not by chance Fresno's playing really well. Some of our other clubs are playing really well. And it's going to be very competitive. Our non-conference schedule is competitive as well. I mean, we opened up with Texas Tech. We have Portland State, and then we play the University of Texas, and then we play Appalachian State. So quite a bit to bite off there. But I like where our team is at.
And now, Coach Craig Bull, you kind of get the double whammy, because when you get a big win like that, people wonder, is there going to be a letdown? And then you also have Texas coming up in 2 weeks, like you said. So then there's that fear of the look ahead. I know what you just said about 1-0, but do you kind of reemphasize that a little bit extra this week going into Portland State after such a big victory?
Well, our players know our coaching staff very well, and this is not something new that I've introduced. However, you're dealing with young men that are 18 to 22. And many times some players will start to maybe read some of their press clippings and some of the accolades that people are saying. And I told them the other day, it's not very far from the penthouse to the outhouse, and you better be ready to go every Saturday.
So when we look at your team, clearly a great win over the weekend, Craig Bull, head coach of Wyoming, who joins us right now. Some scene as well after the game. I know it's just a frenzy with all the fans storming the field. What's going through your mind once the game is over? You guys win in that crazy fashion in double overtime, making your way to the locker room and just seeing all that unfold.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because one of the referees was asking me, are you kind of nervous? And this was about 3 minutes left to go in the game. I said, well, no, not really. I've done this. I mean, these are some things why you coach. I guess more than anything else, like you said, I think the world of Coach McGuire, and I wanted to get across the field and shake his hand. I've been on that side when you maybe haven't played like you wanted to, and there's a disappointing loss, but I wanted to say hello to him and you know, wish him the very best. And then, you know, it's heartwarming to see the people in Wyoming. We only have one school in the whole state, so the whole state rallies around the Cowboys, and then to see the fans enjoy themselves and they're singing out there on the field. I made it into the end zone and kind of took it all in. And then what was really fun, though, was when our players came in the locker room, we sang our school song.
What did you say to your players after a game like that in the locker room? Because that's always such a special moment, coach addressing the team right after a big win like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I talked to him at halftime and I said, there's two things that have kept us in this game, our pride and our conditioning. And so that kept us in that game. And then I said, there's going to be two things that are going to allow us to win this game, our toughness and our togetherness. And I reiterated that at the end. And I think those words resonated with our players. I was really proud of them. And it was great to see them enjoy a big win.
Coach, you know the moving landscape in college football. It's crazy. It's all over the place with conference realignment. When you get a game like that, a Power 5 school up against a non-Power 5 school, I know you always want to play your best brand of football, but just not knowing what the sport's going to look like, what schools are going to be changing over the next few years, do you kind of sense a little extra pressure going into a game of that magnitude just to prove what this program Wyoming can accomplish?
You know what? And I appreciate you bringing up Power 5 and whatever term. Right now there's 10 leagues, and I don't know how many are going to where they're all going to go. I did know for us to play on CBS on a national stage Saturday night against a ranked opponent was going to be a great window of opportunity for us to showcase what kind of program we have. And it was neat. You know, the place was sold out. Our players, there was drama in the game. I knew that, you know, as in a baseball term, I think you're a baseball guy, the Ducks are on the pond, and we needed to deliver, and we did.
Coach, before we let you run, just want to talk about one of your former players, and I know he was enjoying the victory, Josh Allen. I saw Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes were tweeting about the game back and forth, so that was fun to see. I always love stories like this, right? Unexpected greatness and a guy that got under-recruited. Take me back to the recruiting process of Josh Allen landing him to Wyoming.
Yeah, we had just arrived here, and the head coach at Montana State now was our offensive coordinator, and we had identified Josh as a junior college player outside of Fresno, and watched him on tape, saw an unbelievably competitive player, and we vetted who he was being recruited by. I know that Fresno State was not recruiting him, and so I was flying all over the country, and actually I was on a private jet trying to get out to Fresno, and there was an emergency. People don't know this. I don't know if Josh knows this. There was an emergency. We had to land in Wichita.
Wow.
And worked on the plane all night long. And I was able to get out there the next day and walked into his home and said, listen, I've traveled all around the country. You're the one that we want. We're going to build our program on you. And mom began to break down and cry. And dad was there. They're a neat family that comes from a farm. And he was a cowboy through and through, and loves us. And, you know, I'm sure he still rides for the brand out there. And I know he was doing a lot of tweeting Saturday night.
If you don't mind me asking, what was the emergency trying to recruit him on the plane?
Oh, there was a bear, something with the pressurized cabin. And so we were up real high and we had to get down.
Wow.
And what made it a little bit more comfortable, though, in my previous school, I was a pilot and I used to fly myself around on a small single engine. So I kind of knew we were going to be okay. But I don't know if Josh ever knew. I told those guys, we got to get out there the next day. And they, like I said, they worked on the plane all night long.
That's unbelievable. Last thing I'll ask you, clearly you had confidence that Josh was going to be a really good player and you saw it before a lot of other people. But when did you know that he could go on to accomplish some of the things that he already has in his young NFL career?
Yeah, you know, I began to see some things the year before he came out. His arm strength was off the chart, his competitive nature. You know, I had coached against some great quarterbacks like Peyton Manning, and I can go down the whole list. But his arm strength was spectacular. And then his ability to make plays. Now, what he did the next year, where some quarterbacks have chosen to come out early, he came and spent another year with us and had another year in our pro style system, and that really helped hone his skills. Did I think he would be great? I did. He's ahead of schedule. I know that, and I'm really proud of him and love him and his family. And like I said, he probably did more to change the nature of our winning attitude more than anything else here.
Well, Coach, heck of a win. Really do appreciate you taking some time. Good luck, good health to all your players the rest of the season, and thanks so much for doing this.
You bet. Bye now.
What a victory by the Wyoming program. Always appreciate Craig Bull for joining us. And what a story that was about the recruitment of Josh Allen, where the plane had to have an emergency landing. I wonder if Josh knows that. Coach even said he doesn't even know if Josh knows the story. So maybe that was an untold story of the recruitment of Josh Allen. We'll try to get some answers on that. We'll come on back, though, with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Colorado's do-it-all stud, Travis Hunter Jr.? He was all over the field on Saturday, recording an interception and a pass breakup in the end zone to help the Buffaloes pull off the 45-42 upset over 17th-ranked TCU. And Travis Hunter Jr. also recorded 11 catches for 119 yards on offense, playing 129 total snaps. And probably the most impressive part of that performance was his dancing afterwards in the locker room. How the heck are you able to drop all those moves after playing all that football? That was crazy, but give Travis Hunter Jr. a stock up. And bonus stocks up to Coach Prime, Shador Sanders, Shiloh Sanders, that entire Colorado football team. What a joy they were to watch week one of college football. Let's go to Jalen Milroe, the quarterback over at Alabama. Nice performance to open up his season. I know a big game this week up against the Texas Longhorns, but going up against Middle Tennessee, he was able to go on out there and have five total touchdowns as Alabama crushes Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders, 56-7. So give a stock up to Jalen Milroe. Let's go from one JM
to the next JM. And this, of course, is the Tennessee quarterback in Joe Milton, who's been around the block for a while, was originally at Tennessee, where it looked like he was going to be, you know, he was the quarterback, then replaced by Hendon Hooker. We know he's at Michigan before that. But the Volunteers blew out Virginia over the weekend, 49-13. And Joe Milton was very efficient, 21 of 30, passing for 201 yards, two touchdowns through the air, and then on the ground, also had two rushing touchdowns. So give Joe Milton a stock up. Mike Norvell. For 2 years, everyone wanted him fired. Last year, gets a double-digit wins. This year, opens up the season up against LSU. And he blows them out in the second half. Give Mike Norvell, who joined us earlier on the show, you could listen on the free Odyssey app or go to my Twitter at Zach Gelber or show page or anywhere you can find your podcast and you can listen to the entirety of that conversation, but give Mike Norvell a stock up. It was a slow start up against West Virginia as a team, but I got to give credit to Hickey's guy and Drew Aller. I think Drew Aller is going to be really good for Penn State this season. Give Drew Aller a stock up. Now, we talk about someone that could be really good. We already know someone that is really good. And that is Washington's quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., who a lot of people were upset that he was not a Heisman Trophy finalist last year after a long time at Indiana, reunites with Kalen DeBoer, and we saw what he was able to do a year ago. Well, he picked up right where he left off, 450 yards passing and five passing touchdowns as Washington just absolutely dominates and destroys Boise State by final score 56-19. So give a stock up to Michael Penix Jr. So last year, we saw Bo Nix transfer. Bo Nix have a really successful season. Michael Penix Jr. transfer, have a really successful season. After both of those quarterbacks at Indiana and Auburn did not come anywhere close to having the years that they had last year. So for the last 2 years, DJ Uiagalelei has not played well at Clemson. Now, Clemson got destroyed this weekend by Duke. DJ Uiagalelei, I get it's up against San Jose State, but DJ Uiagalelei in his debut for the Oregon State Beavers goes 20-25 for 239 yards and three touchdowns, and also rushes for two touchdowns. So five total touchdowns when Dabo Sweeney's squad only put up 7 points in the contest. Good day for DJ Uiagalelei. Give him a stock up. We'll keep it moving here. Shane Beamer. Let's hear from him. He was upset that the chain crew was late coming out of halftime.
Do we have any stats? Anybody? It's kind of the story of the night. Clock was wrong the whole game. We're trying to kick an onside kick to start the second half, and we got to wait on the chain crew because they're eating a hot dog. That's the only disappointing thing about tonight.
So Shane Beamer's come on this show a lot, and I like Shane Beamer, but that's amateur hour. You just lost 31-17. I don't want to hear that you were annoyed with the chain crew for eating a hot dog and the clock management issue. That's not why you lost the game. North Carolina took it to you. And that's something I hate. I got to be fair here, even though I like Shane Beamer. When a coach loses, I hate the coach that makes excuses and points to things that don't even make sense. And that was one of them. That's a bad job by Shane Beamer. We give you a lot of credit, a lot of praise. I like what he's done with that program. But you just had an embarrassing loss where if you just lost to North Carolina, it's something to be ashamed of. It's a good football team. You have someone in Drake May is phenomenal. But when you lose 31-17 and you score three lousy points in the second half, shut up after the game. Just shut up. I hate to sound like Jim Calhoun there. Shut up. Shut up. But I don't want to hear about the hot dogs. So give a stock down to Shane Beamer. Kyle McCord, underwhelming debut for this season of Ohio State football. They only put up 23 points up against Indiana. We'll see what that team does in a few weeks up against Notre Dame, but I did not love what I saw from the Ohio State offense. So give Ryan Day, Kyle McCord, the receivers, a stock down. And finally, I've been talking about this a lot. Dabo Sweeney, who has been a phenomenal college football coach, but the last few years, he has lost his way. And that Clemson team should not have been ranked in the top 10 before the start of the season. They showed that the other day. Just Duke embarrassing them and doing whatever they wanted with them. But he just doesn't embrace the transfer portal. I'm not saying you have to go all in on the transfer portal. But when you have talent problems and you have a brand that's good enough like Dabo Sweeney and Clemson has built, you got to find a way to go utilize that transfer portal more. The great coaches adapt. The great coaches change. And just Dabo Swinney isn't willing to do that right now. And all he does is make fun of the transfer portal, and all he does is make fun of NIL. And look, now all we're doing is making fun of Dabo Swinney today. So give him a stock down. And finally, I'm going to throw one more curveball at you here. I'm actually going to go back to the well here of positivity. I know that they were cupcake opponents, but I give credit to Oregon and also Oklahoma. Oregon just destroyed Portland State by a final score of 81-7. And then when you look at Oklahoma, I know it's up against Arkansas State, but they won 73-0. So give Oklahoma and give Oregon both stocks up. Alrighty, and that is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to each and every one of you for listening to the program. Always follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Do that right now. Cordell Stewart, thank you for joining us. Scott Hansen, thank you for joining us. Mike Norvell, thank you for joining us. And, of course, the Wyoming coach in Craig Bull, thank you for joining us. Hot Take Hickey, thank you for producing this extravaganza. Sean Alexander, the former NFL MVP and Alabama star, will join us tomorrow. And we're out of time. So we'll talk to you then at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.